Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the church year, and this year we'll be taking most of our gospel readings from the book of Luke. Luke talks a lot about joy, especially in the first two chapters. So today we're going to start a new sermon series called Good News of Great Joy, based on the first two chapters of Luke, because Advent and Christmas are the seasons of joy. We'll be talking about what joy is and where it comes from. Luke is a physician, and he's writing to his friend Theophilus. He wants to share with Theophilus the gospel. That word literally means good news. Luke wants to write an orderly account about everything that has been fulfilled in their midst, all the ways in which Jesus Christ has fulfilled the promises of the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament scriptures promise that a Savior, a Messiah, would come, and he'd bring all sorts of good things with him. Let me share with you three things that the Messiah will bring. Number one, the Messiah will bring healing. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Messiah would bring with him healing. Because of sin, we live in a world full of suffering, pain, and death. Physical pain, emotional pain, and spiritual pain. It's just a part of our life here on earth. No one has it easy. No one is comfortable. All of us have to suffer. But the Messiah, he comes to bring healing and hope. And by his wounds, the wounds of the Messiah, people would be healed. And that's exactly what happened. The book of Acts, also written by Luke, tells us God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. As we will see from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus went all over the country doing good and healing people. Jesus brought healing with him wherever he went. Physical healing, for sure. Jesus healed people of all sorts of different diseases. But he also healed the blind, the deaf, the lepers, the sick, and the dying. As Luke tells us in Luke 6:19, when a huge crowd of sick people came to see Jesus, Jesus healed them all. That's who he is as the Messiah. He brings healing. Not just physical healing, though, spiritual healing as well. According to the prophet Isaiah, the greatest healing in all of history happened at the cross. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus went to the cross to heal us from the spiritual disease of sin. Sin is like a disease. It is painful, it is contagious, and it is fatal. It brings pain and death to each and every one of us, and it is the source of every disease. Jesus came to heal us not just from one disease, but from all diseases, to heal us from sin itself. And that's what he did on the cross. He died for our sins once and for all. And through his death, he paid the price for sin, for each and every sin, every sin we've ever committed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. By his wounds, we are healed now and forever. The second thing the Messiah brings is freedom. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." So what will the Messiah do? He will preach the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He will bind up the brokenhearted, and he will proclaim freedom to the captives. But the prison he's talking about is not a physical prison. It is bondage to sin. Jesus told people, whoever sins is a slave to sin. And sin brings with it all sorts of bondage. For some people, it's physical bondage, a physical addiction. For some people, it's emotional bondage. Bondage to guilt. Bondage to fear. Bondage to shame. Jesus, the Messiah, came to set us free, free from the power of sin. John 8:31-32, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Messiah comes to set us free, free from the consequences of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. But not just the consequences of sin, but even from the power of sin. The ability to live a new life free from the control of the sinful nature. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Through the power of Christ's word and through the power of Christ's spirit, we can say no to the sinful nature. We're no longer under its domination, no longer slaves to it. We're no longer in its bondage. We can say no to temptation. We can say no to sin. We can say no to ungodliness. None of us can do this perfectly, but we can continue to grow in saying no to the sinfulness of this world. Instead, what we can do is replace that no with a yes. Yes to what Christ tells us to do in his word. Yes to the kind of life the Holy Spirit wants us to lead. Yes to being more loving and having loving relationships. Yes to having the peace that passes all understanding, which comes from the Lord. And yes to having more and more joy in our life. Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. John 15, verse 11. The Messiah comes to bring us healing. He comes to bring us freedom. And third of all, he comes to bring us joy. Number three, joy. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. So when the Messiah comes, he will bring joy with him. That's what Zechariah said 500 years before Jesus was born. He predicted that the Messiah himself would be the greatest source of joy to his people. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Notice it says to rejoice and to shout. It doesn't say whisper, daughter of Jerusalem. We rejoice in the Messiah because he is the one who brings salvation to us. Salvation from our real enemies. Our real enemies are not another country. They're not a group of people. Our real enemies are sin, its power and its consequences, as we talked about before. The devil and his legion of demonic creatures. But there's one more enemy that Christ has defeated. And this victory will truly bring us everlasting joy because victory always brings joy with it. Isaiah mentions it in our Old Testament lesson from chapter 11, that a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. God will raise up a righteous branch. He'll be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of righteousness. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And one more thing, his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Isaiah 11, verse 10. Now, the resting place he's talking about is his grave, the place where he's buried. Now, why would that be glorious? What's so glorious about a grave? I mean, nobody goes to a cemetery and says, oh, this is so glorious. Look at all these graves around here. But then I thought about it, and the Messiah is a king, and some kings and emperors have some pretty glorious resting places. Let me show you some pictures of them. First of all, there's the Taj Mahal. That was built back in the 1600s by one of the emperors of India to be the funeral place, a grave for his wife and for himself. It's one of the most beautiful buildings ever built. I would admit that's a pretty glorious grave right there. Of course, let's not forget the incredible tomb of King Tutankhamun, better known by most Americans as King Tut. It was full of Egyptian riches. It was discovered by Howard Carter in his expedition in 1922. It dates all the way back, though, 1,300 years before Christ, and it had the treasures of Egypt contained in it. But if you really want to talk about an amazing tomb, we can go back farther than that. Let's go back to 2600 BC, the tomb of Pharaoh Khufu, which is known as the Great Pyramid of Giza. The Great Pyramid of Giza stands 480 feet high above the Sahara Desert. And again, it was built in 2600 BC. That's what, 5,000 years ago? All of these pale in comparison to the greatest tomb of all. Here is the greatest tomb of all. This is the tomb of Jesus Christ, and it is the most glorious tomb of all for one fact and one fact alone, because it is empty. All the other tombs still have their original owners in them, but not the tomb of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we have joy because Christ has won the greatest victory of all time. Not only victory over sin, not only victory over the devil, but victory over death itself. And this empty tomb means that one day your tomb will be empty. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory that gives us joy that will never end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.